is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
That is McCotter, American Greatness, Malcolm Holine, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. The risk now increases every day because of the Vienna talks with the suspect nuclear weapons program of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Thaddeus?
Yes, Malcolm, what is going on in Vienna, if anything, at this point?
Right now, nothing. This past week, a lot. This was the seventh round of talks. It lasted 5 days. I think by Thursday already they realized, and my discussions with U.S. officials, it was clear they had come to the conclusion that nothing was going to happen. It's clear that Raisi gave instructions as the new president, considered, quote, more hardline, unquote, though it's hard to define, and that essentially walked back all the compromises that had been reached in the earlier negotiations. And as you know, the United States allowed them 6 months to stall. Now, as they said that they were preparing it, they needed this time to slow walk the talks while they, at the same time, were ramping up their nuclear activities. And I'm sure we'll discuss it, but the parties are finally coming to the conclusion that they've been hoodwinked, because all of this time, not only centrifuges, the amount of enriched uranium, the potency of the enriched uranium, all of it. And I think that they've all come to the conclusion, including the United States and to a degree China and Russia, that they're going to walk away from the talks if it shows that Tehran, as has been proven till now, has no intention of coming to a serious agreement. They want the compromises that the others made and more, but are not willing to abide by the ones that they made. And this has been floated through six rounds of talks, and each time they pocket the compromises and often a lot of money and delivered nothing. We know that they are violating in virtually every sense. So the disappointment, even getting to their friends in Russia and China, who don't want to see, I believe, a nuclear Iran because it poses a threat to them as well. And the United States is under pressure from its friends, including Israel, not to seek an interim deal where Tehran would be able to move ahead with their subterfuges, and there are many that have been identified. And the Europeans have similarly expressed the real disappointment and concern, which is a very weak term for what the bleak outcome of the talks. And despite the patience and tolerance that was demonstrated by the administration, the Iranians are doing everything to sabotage it, and I think are prepared to see them walk away at this time. They don't want it. They want to get more concessions. They also want sanctions relief.
Malcolm, on a related note, what is the status of the Fordo plant?
Well, the Fordo plant, which is one that had been seriously attacked, we know that Iran is continuing to move ahead, and there was after this long hiatus when they returned to negotiations, but Iran's underground nuclear facility, where they have 166 advanced IR-6 centrifuges producing uranium at 20% purity, a short step to 90%, and they are not allowing any inspections, obviously. This is a facility that is underground near the holy city of Qom, which is about, I don't know, 50 miles from Tehran. And it's the size of a football field, and it can house 3,000 centrifuges, which means that the breakout time gets knocked down to a month where to the time that they get enough enriched uranium. Then they have to affix it to a bomb, and the rockets they already have. We've seen them testing ballistic missiles. But putting this thing 260 feet underground, under dirt and rot, et cetera, made very clear what their intention was, and they're acknowledging it. That's the real chutzpah of this, is that the Iranian government is saying we're doing these things, and all of which are violations of the agreement, and the head, Grassi, was there and achieved, it seems, nothing in terms of getting any kind of concessions or access, even, that the cameras that are supposed to be there to monitor these facilities are not functioning, and they're not allowed to get into those places.
Fog of war. Over these last days, there was a report of an explosion somewhere around the Natanz facility. suggesting, of course, something strange. But there was an event at Natanz in April of this year. Do we have any clarity on what happened in April before we look at now?
Yes, there are reports now which explain something we talked about and speculated about, how it was possible for whoever it was who carried it out, the Iran facility in Natanz in April of 2021. This was an underground facility where a huge centrifuge hall, but huge, massive. And it turns out that it seems a group of Iranian nuclear scientists were recruited by Israel and others to carry out the sabotage. Some of it, the explosive, were dropped into the compound by a drone, but others were smuggled into the facility in boxes of food on a catering truck. The explosion took away 90% of the centrifuges, which put it out of action for about 9 months. But it was more importantly a message to the government that they could hit this Iran Center for Advanced Centrifuges warehouse at Natanz, where explosives were hidden for several years in the building materials that they used it, and they were triggered as well. So the explosion came from various factors, but it leveled this huge facility. So at least we now know what happened in Natanz. The problem is that Natanz is now back up and functioning again, and we know that they are enriching there and at Fordo and the other facilities.
That is.
Malcolm, there's going to be a meeting tomorrow about Iranian sanctions. What can you tell us?
So this is the sanctions removal group. This is what Iran keeps focusing on and saying, you know, they're not interested in really in the other discussions. They just want to get sanctions removal. The first meeting is tomorrow. I cannot see that they have any agenda given the developments last week, but it's very hard to predict what our European allies and others will do in the face of the policies that they've pursued till now. So the first meeting will be very interesting to see if it takes place and whether the Iranians will clearly pressure for sanctions removal, and they want that first before they take the steps that they're required to take, even the preliminary steps that would give any sense of confidence that they're serious negotiators. Till now, there's none, and there's no reason why the sanctions committee should meet.
I have a series of visitors, Malcolm, around the world, a list that you helped me compile. And I want to start with one that is reminiscent of an event during the Bush administration, 2007, reporting the weekend before Labor Day of a visit by the then Defense Minister of Israel to the United States, to the Bush administration, to the Pentagon. What happened days later was an event in eastern Syria where there was suspect a nuclear weapons program or a nuclear energy facility underway that could advance Iran's intention at the time to attack Israel with its short-range missiles. That event led to the destruction of that facility in eastern Syria. I note, thanks to you, Malcolm, you've confirmed that not only is the defense minister of Israel visiting soon enough to Washington, Benny Gantz, but also the head of Mossad is accompanying him. Is there any connection, Malcolm?
I think that it reflects the level of concern in Israel, the degree that despite any differences, the United States and Israel work together and must work together if there's going to be a real response to these Iranian violations. There have been several statements. Even Macron saying you can't do it without Israel and our Gulf allies, the Arab allies, involved in the discussions. That's the only way you're going to have a successful outcome. The various visits are clearly intended to raise new issues. There's new information that Barnea is supposedly bringing regarding the current activities in Iran. He cites the three enrichment sites. He said there's no need for 60% for civilian purposes, and that is unless their intent is to have a nuclear weapon for domestic purposes. So he is coming with new information, and I think Minister Gantz, the defense minister, for more coordination between Israel. It's really maximally important that they all be on the same page. And if you've seen, and we've reported, the increasing number of joint exercises, both with the United States and Israel, but also increasing numbers of other countries from the region and beyond participating in it. Macron actually visited the UAE, where he concluded a huge arms sales, I think $16 billion, very important after the recent cancellation of the arms sale that aroused tensions between the United States and France. But it's a sign that they're looking elsewhere for material. We see them talking about buying the Iranian S-400 defense systems. We see other steps being taken by countries that are allied with the United States. And one of the reasons why we have to show a really strong stand there to give our allies confidence of our commitment. There are meetings in Tehran with the UAE National Security Advisor, Sheikh Tahnoun bin Zayed, and he met with Raisi. Now, we've seen meetings between UAE officials in Syria, Turkey, Iran. Whether it really represents a major shift or not is speculative, but it's certainly a change in something that would not have been thought of before. Iran's deputy foreign minister bothered to come to the UN, where he lambasted the United Nations, the United States, and said that it's time for the U.S.'s extraterritorial moves to be countered. And yet here Iran is the worst violator of every standard of the United Nations, including its interventions in other countries.
Thaddeus, you have a question from Malcolm.
Yes, Malcolm, is it time to declare Syria the world's newest narco state? I mean, they're producing illegal drugs, they're distributing them under the rubric of Assad's younger brother and with the Syrian military? Really?
Yes, really. And it's very sad to see this happening, you know, after all that's been going on in Syria. But it's associates of the president. It's a multi-billion dollar operation. And as you said, it's the world's newest narco state. And they sell Captagon, an illegal addictive amphetamine, but also now supposedly going into crystal meth. And its distribution is overseen by the 4th Armored Division, which the younger brother of Assad commands. And they say also Hezbollah is involved in it. So this is very disturbing because it's a region that does not need more drugs, and Syria ought to be building infrastructure for industry and building up its economy.
One more detail, Malcolm, about the trouble in and around Israel. I had a conversation with Jonathan Schanzer about Hamas and Hamas's efforts to overcome the PA to take control of the West Bank. There was recently an event in the West Bank. I believe Shin Bet rounded up 50 Hamas operators, and you identified the West Bank as the new frontier for Hamas. There are protests about this. Who is standing up to Hamas now, Malcolm?
So we have various demonstrations that are taking place. One is the details about the terrorist attacks that Hamas had planned and why what Israel did, and the international community jumps to criticize without knowing the facts. They intended to activate hidden sniper nests all around Israel to kill as many Israelis as possible. And they also intended to detonate explosives at least 4 sites in Jerusalem and other cities. They were arrested on the eve of the execution of the plan, which was mainly organized by Hamas officials in Istanbul, our good friend again. And this was a clear indication of the intent. You also see demonstrations that are taking place now in the West Bank. Of course, in Gaza itself, we're seeing demonstrations and protests against the policies of Hamas, because they say, you know, there's a movement called We Want to Live after a number of migrants from Gaza drowned off the coast of Greece. And they are these demonstrations are escalating because they say we're subject to all these illegal and human taxes, that the money never gets their people. They want to work in the West Bank and Israel, they say. They call themselves fish food because of the people who have died at the hands of these demonstrations. But also protests that have gotten the Christian communities very worried in Bethlehem and Beit Sahur and other Christian communities because of the demonstrations against the Palestinian Authority by people in the West Bank who are tired of the conditions that obtain there and the lack of resources being provided by government, the unemployment, et cetera, and all of the corruption. So these are two things where they're looking to Israel for help.
Malcolm Hohnlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations, Thaddeus McCotter, American Greatness. When we come back, the dusty one, Indiana Hohnlein. This is CBSi on the World. I'm John Batchelor.